Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive, hoping you have a set on your radio dial. If you don't, do it right now. Reach to the dial and pick a little preset. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery are putting us out on the road twice this week, once next week, once the week after that. We'll be doing it all summer. I am plotting a 25th anniversary Oyster Tour in September for the pennant race and for the beginning of football season. But for now, it's just crab cakes. Sometimes I do get some oysters. Sometimes the coconut shrimp with that delicious little raspberry jalapeno sauce will be on the menu. I will be at Coco's on Wednesday with Mike Ricigliano, with Baltimore Magazine editor Max Weiss. We'll talk some movies with Alan McCallum stopping by. Tom Pierce is coming by to talk Father's Day and Classic Five golf, as well as the Philadelphia Phillies coming to town this weekend. On Friday, to honor the Phillies and Fleet Week, we'll be down in Fells Point to welcome them. Like the Philly fanatic in Fells, something like that. We'll be down at Cooper's in the afternoon, 1 to 4. We'll be talking about Fleet Week. My old buddy Ron Furman will come by. We'll talk some rock and roll stories. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. They do clean water as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. And you know they do clean engines, keep your car running the right way. Get out to Jiffy Lube MultiCare. We'll be telling you more about that all summer long. Like Kid Rock, he has been covering baseball. He has been covering football. He is awaiting the birth of his next niece, nephew, and someone else to spoil and take to the ballpark 15 years from now after our third parade, fourth parade. I don't know how many we're going to have at this point. But this week, he's the football guy, and the Ravens are back out on the field for three consecutive days, and there's mini camps, and there's drama, and there's, hey, what happened to Kyle Hamilton? Are they telling us the truth, Luke Jones? You tell me.
I think so. I mean, John Harbaugh, I flat out asked, hey, we saw Kyle Hamilton on the field, albeit not practicing, just observing with the rest of the defensive backs, and the description John Harbaugh said he had some, quote, loose bodies removed from his elbow, bone chips, whatever, however you want to.
So you were the one pressing John on an injury. Kudos.
Yeah,
2 points for WNST. I appreciate that. That's good. Tough question.
Done that plenty of times.
I know you have.
Yeah, but no, I mean, he was very matter-of-fact about it, said he had, you know, a little bit of a procedure on his elbow, said 2 to 3 weeks, which that means he should be fine for training camp. And even if he's not, as I noted to some other reporters as we were out there on Tuesday afternoon, if it was anything serious, Kyle Hamilton wouldn't be out there even observing, right? He'd be getting treatment or rehabbing it or whatever. So, you know, it had been a little curious because we saw him the first week of OTAs, he was out there, and then he wasn't the previous 2 weeks. And look, Kyle Hamilton has veteran status now, right? He doesn't need to necessarily be out there every day in terms of winning a job, but it did raise a couple of eyebrows. And but sounds like he's going to be ready to go for the start of training camp. Doesn't sound like there's any concerns there. I mean, even if he's on the PUP list for the first 3 days of camp, I don't think anyone's going to be sounding the alarm. So Kyle Hamilton, we know, is very, very important. For my money, he's the best player on their defense now. And I say that with no disrespect to Roquan Smith or Justin Matabike, because they're both tremendous Pro Bowl talents. But I think we're seeing Kyle Hamilton, we saw it in his second year, transcend it. I mean, the kind of guy can line up at six or seven different spots. We've kind of joked about it. Is he really a safety? Because that kind of constricts what he can really do.
Yeah.
So exactly. So you need him on the field. And if he's not on the field for mandatory minicamp, who cares? So we did get some clarity this week. And, you know, for the most part, you know, they have a couple other guys that, you know, a couple younger guys that are banged up right now. But for the most part, this is a pretty healthy football team as it pertains to looking ahead to the start of training camp. I mean, really only one guy, Keaton Mitchell, and we know this, you know, this isn't anything new. Keaton Mitchell's the one guy with a long-term injury that's rehabbing, and we know he's not going to be ready week one. He's probably not going to be ready week five. I'm guessing Keaton Mitchell at this point in time, if you want me to project it in the middle of June, anything he can give them come December and January, and maybe if it's even just a change of pace to Derrick Henry and to spell Justice Hill a little bit in December and January, if he can do that, great. To me, I think you view that as a bonus. I mean, kid tore up his knee in mid-December. I think it was pretty evident he wasn't going to be ready in week one. But beyond him, there aren't that many questions. Maybe David Ajabo, who is still a little bit limited coming back from knee surgery last year. But beyond that, they don't have a ton of long-term injuries or guys that you're worried about being ready for week one, at least at this point in time. Obviously, that can change anytime you take the field. But this is a pretty healthy football team. And that reflected in having, I think it was 84 out of 90 players on their offseason roster. I think it's 90. You know, they might have an open roster spot. I'd have to double check. But point is, just about everyone on the 90-man roster was out on the field taking part, at least on the first day of mandatory minicamp.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. When my mic is hot and turned on, we can actually do that. It's too much coffee from Royal Farms this morning here, getting us going. You said something sort of flippant in regard to Kyle Hamilton. Who cares if he's out there during mandatory minicamp? Listen, we'll talk about this like it's all serious this week because it is for the coaches, and they like to gather these guys and see them breathe and see them move around and see where they are in shape and all that. What do they care about? What do they care about this week? What matters this week?
I mean, I think there's some coach speak at work here, but you are trying to build the foundation of something. I mean, obviously, this is the first time you're getting your full allotment of players together. I mean, like, for example, Kyle Van Noy. I don't know if Kyle Van Noy had stepped foot in the building since the season ended last January. I mean, they re-signed him, and that's not to say he didn't come in for a brief visit to work out a contract, but a lot of times agents and general managers – they do that on the phone or on a Zoom or whatever, and it's done. And you say, hey, I'll see you mandatory minicamp week. Because, you know, Kyle Van Noy, he came in, what, September 29th and then played against Cleveland that Sunday. I mean, Kyle Van Noy is in his 30s, and last year he kind of proved to everyone that he knows how to get himself ready for a football season. But it's still nice to have the guys in the building. It's nice to have them on the field. I think for the defense, there's certainly an acclimation period for Zach Orr or some of the other new defensive assistants. Keep in mind, there's a lot of turnover on the coaching side there. Not that they're unfamiliar with Zach Orr. I mean, the reviews for May and June, for whatever that's worth, which isn't much, but it's all we have to go off of right now, they've been glowing. You know, everyone loves Zach Orr, and I think the organization showed you how much they thought of him by promoting him and not put it being in a position where they say, oh, well, we want someone a little more experienced. They're putting a lot of trust in him. Now, doesn't mean there won't be some hiccups, especially when you're starting the season in Kansas City against Patrick Mahomes, but they're trying to acclimate. I don't think that, you know, the defensive system is not, you know, John, at least according to John Harbaugh, and I think common sense would dictate, because Zach Orr's been here for all but one season since he transitioned from player to assistant coach, that the system's not really changing. He'll put his fingerprints on it, sure, but it's not as though they're redoing anything or tearing it all down and rebuilding it. So, you know, there's some acclimation there, but I think that's minor. And, you know, on the offensive side, I think it's just, okay, what does year two look like? You know, what is the vision for Todd Monken's offense now with a year of fundamental foundational knowledge already there? You know, you're not, other than the rookies and any veteran newcomers, they're not learning the system, but what's changing? You know, what are you tweaking? One thing that was very evident on Tuesday, they had a lot of pre-snap penalties, you know, on offense, and that was noticeable. It wasn't that abnormal for this time of year, but it stood out. And one thing John Harbaugh said is they are working on some cadence things in terms of at the line of scrimmage. And maybe we're going to see Lamar Jackson use some more hard counts now that he has a greater command of Todd Monken's system. You know, that's the, you know, kind of one of the next steps. I mean, obviously Derrick Henry and what that's going to do for their running game and how it might look different than it looked with Gus Edwards or J.K. Dobbins or Mark Ingram years ago running the football under Greg Roman. So, yeah, so there's, But all that being said, is there anything that's going to happen over the next 3 days that drastically alters the trajectory of the trajectory of their 2024 season? No, other than the worst case scenario of someone going down with a long-term significant injury. So again, coaches always want everyone there. Right. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago when Lamar was skipping some of the OTAs. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers skipping mandatory minicamp. I mean, Well, all right, you played four snaps last year, fine. You know, I mean, again, just kind of speaks to where some of these guys are sometimes with their, you know, their career and making too much of something or not. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're getting some light work in. There's still no live contact. So, you know, the observations are fun. I'm working on a 12 Ravens thoughts. You know, I'll probably have a couple of them this week in terms of mini camp and then the aftermath of it. I'll do a roster, early roster look as we get through these 3 days. But, you know, it's still very much laying the groundwork. You know, these are still lower level building block days, which, yeah, they all add up and there's a cumulative impact, but, you know, they're not going to decide the starting offensive line this week. You know, we get a picture of it right now, but that doesn't mean that's what it's going to be come September 5th or November 5th for that matter. But you know, you want to see what this looks like. I mean, a lot of work goes into building a roster. A lot of work goes into building a coaching staff. And this is your first relatively complete look at what that's going to look like. So is there some value? Yeah, of course, in the way that there, anytime you're working, you know, that, you know, the idea of you hear coaches say all the time, get 1% better every day, right? I mean, how many times have you heard that? So there's truth to that. There's validity to that. But to sit here and say that these 3 days are that consequential to the big picture, I'd be lying to you, Nestor. And that's why, like I said, the observations are fun this time of year because anyone who's ready for football and can't wait for September to get here, and if you're not a big baseball person, then yeah, it's a great week and it's fun. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we also understand that there's nothing definitive happening this week unless it's the bad side of, heaven forbid, a notable player going down with an ACL or an Achilles or something like that, which has happened in the past, as we can recall, Dennis Pitta or Tavon Young or guys, you know, past Ravens who unfortunately suffered an injury in the spring.
Well, far be it from me for my 26 years of covering football professionally and seeing this, but I would interject that it's really important. And I covered it as though it was really important. I think you do too, in regard to gathering a team. And the coach speak part would be, let's see what the young guys are capable of. And this would be going back to Marvin Lewis teaching me that it's not coaching, it's teaching. And it's more than that. It's really classroomy. It's really trying to figure out who is left from right, who can make changes. And that's above and beyond in the weight room, your strength, your agility, all those physical things. This is the time of the year where the mental acuity, and when you have a new player and they're in love with this right tackle, and you know, whatever way they're in love with him, they're promoting him. I put his picture up in the front of Baltimore Positive this week. And then they bring in this sort of legendary running back who says, hey man, I'm just happy somebody else to be the center of attention around here because I've been in an offense where, you know, the quarterback really hasn't been the weapon. He's been the weapon. So I hear all of these observations this time of year, but I really think coaches want to look at Derrick Henry and say, it's not 2017 anymore, right? It's, you know, where, what is he capable of? Where are we? What does he know coming in from another system? How quickly do outsiders pick the system up? But more than that, I mean, they've had kids they've drafted that they found out later were dyslexic, that didn't know left from right, that weren't great, that sort of were good in classroom in March and April, but they got them here and they couldn't pick up the playbook. They couldn't learn the new system. They couldn't adjust to a different kind of position. Where, to your point, Kyle Hamilton, anything they throw at him, it's like Gunnar Henderson. And then they throw at him. These phenoms are phenoms for a reason. They're not all phenoms. They knew Ray Lewis was a phenom early on. I don't know what they know of these guys, but this is where the lights go on between coaches and players and communication, that a coach will come out of this week saying, thumbs up or thumbs down or thumbs sideways, right? Like literally, the coaches will get together at the end of the week and say, oh man, this kid doesn't get it. Not to mention this kid's fat or out of shape or is winded or isn't tough or whatever those John Harbaugh things that he would say off the record about, I don't know, the lineman from the UK, you know, that he doesn't like a player or likes a player based on something. This is when they figure that out. They don't figure this out watching tape in March and April and playing games and talking to them and seeing them in the cafeteria. They figure this out when they get out there and start blowing the whistle. and saying, can you do what you've been studying to do for 6 or 8 weeks in some sort of real time, And there are guys that move forward this week, and that they will be the ones on Thursday that Harbaugh outs. If he starts talking about Isaiah Likely like 2 years ago, you start to say, hey, guy's lights on, coaches like him. Because the only way you make it in the league is have coaches like you. If your coach doesn't like you, doesn't believe in you, doesn't like the way you practice, doesn't like where you are, alignment, assignment, technique, all of that is available this week for these guys.
It is. It is.
There's my lecture because I know football. There you go. Take that, Chad. There you go. There's your week for you.
And you really hit on it because, I mean, it's really for the young guys. I mean, as we said, I mean, even someone like Kyle Hamilton who, okay, Kyle Hamilton's still learning in the sense that we all never, truly never stop learning, right, in whatever our career field or walk of life is. But he knows what's going on. Him not being out there this week is not a big deal. You know, it's just the thought of, okay, well, Adarius Washington's lining up at safety right now, and then we're trying to find out if he can be our number three safety. And, you know, so how does he look with Marcus Williams on the back end, knowing that Hamilton's going to move around and all that? So
makes it easier for Lamar to operate the offense this week without Hamilton being disruptive.
Fair point. Well, and then on the flip side, while we were talking about Lamar not being there for OTAs, maybe that was easier for the defense at that point in time, right? I mean, so you can always kind of look at it back and forth, but it really is for the young guys. And you think about specifically the draft picks, the rookie free agents, you know, those priority undrafted guys that, you know, you, out of the 15 to 20 that you sign any given late April and early May, you might have three or four guys that you think, okay, out of those four, you know, there's a chance that one or two of them might be able to stick, right? I mean, we know there are levels and layers to this. I mean, it's a 90-man roster, but you're right. I mean, there's a natural progression that goes on from draft a guy, bring him in for rookie camp. All the rookies, right? No one else. You know, there's a couple – like Andrew Voorhees took part in rookie camp because he missed all of last year. Like technically second year players who miss all of their rookie year, they're allowed to take part. Point is, it's all rookies. So the learning curve is, you know, it's a slower pace. They're teaching these guys how to practice. Then football school starts where, you know, you bring in some of these veterans. Yeah, you know, these guys are doing a little bit of on-field work here and there, but it's more the mental side. They're still lifting weights. They're still doing agility. They're doing all that. Then phase three, OTA start. More and more veterans are starting to come into the picture. They're getting on the field. First time they can do 11 on 11. Again, it's still much more of a learning environment. And it's really changed. And you and I have talked about this. And, you know, we've even talked about this to the point where, you know, it's ruffled some feathers within the building in terms of talking about them getting in trouble during OTAs with contact and things like that and losing an OTA, getting fined, things like that. But it's really, you can even tell with how the practices are run, how much less competition there is in terms of a defensive back going up to try to defend a pass. It's still much more of a learning environment. It's still much more of a slower pace, but you add those veteran players in and it does pick up for the rookies and they're trying to process, to your point, and know what they're doing, going up against some tougher competition. But then the final piece for the spring anyway is mandatory mini camp where all the veterans are in there. They're running the closest thing they're going to run to real practice until the last week of July. And yeah,
it's really show me how much you've learned, right?
How much have you learned from coming in here the first weekend in May, and you didn't even know how to line up in the huddle the way the Ravens like to line up properly. And now it's a matter of, do you know your assignment? Do you know where you're supposed to line up athletically? Are you competing, you know, whether you're a defensive back running with a wide receiver, whether you're, and you know, there's always a little bit of contact, obviously, between the O-line and D-line. I mean, inherently that's the one spot where, yeah, there's,
yeah,
still
you're not
be
asking these guys to do physical stuff right now. I don't think, I mean, you're not judging them based on strength or whether the new right tackle is going to get beaten. You just want to make sure he's not stepping on the new right guard.
Well, there's that, but you want to see the hand placement. You want to see the footwork. You know, you want to see
technique. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a progression to this. And is it complete? No, of course not. It's not going to be complete until they start going live, what, day five or four or five of training camp. And even then, they don't do a whole lot of fully live work. It's more thud and, you know, you kind of play and keep the ball carrier up. You know, you don't want these guys going to the ground too often, at the very least. So, but it's, this is kind of, you know, this is the graduation of the first semester for these rookies, you know, for these second year guys that quite frankly need to step up, you know, guys that, you know, like Big Sala, we were talking about him a lot last year at this time. And that was the one example I thought of when you mentioned John Harbaugh talking about any of these young guys at the end of this week. You know, they talked about Big Sala, but you know what they found out? And it's why I don't put too much stock into this from a competitive standpoint, is once the pads came on in late July and early August, guess what? And I'm picking on him, but he's one of many over the years. And it's really hard. It's the NFL. But they found out Big Sala wasn't ready to be a starting caliber offensive lineman last year. But he's practiced and he's worked, and he's going to be in the mix at the guard spots this summer. And we'll see what he's learned since last year. But, you know, that's why this time of year I can give you so many different young guys who flash during OTAs, then they disappear during minicamp. They flash during minicamp, they're nowhere to be found come the first week of training camp. Or they look really good the first couple of weeks of training camp. They get to the preseason, and just the spotlight of the preseason game, let alone talking about the regular season, they don't show up there. Or you have guys who flash in the preseason. You think, hey, he might be able to be my nickel. He might be able to be my third tight end. And I'm just throwing out random positions. And then the regular season comes and you say, okay, that wasn't real. So
this is also a week for Eric DaCosta to look and say, we need help at nickel. Better get some more help on the offensive line. This isn't gonna be good enough. We like this kid we drafted, but this isn't gonna be where we need to be on opening day, or we'd like to be better. And there's clearly places we've talked about all winter long that they feel like they have some deficiency, or they need some more depth above and beyond. Like we talked about the bullpen with the Orioles and whatever, above and beyond what they have right now and what they drafted, because they drafted guys they like to.
Yeah. And look, I mean, with the salary cap, the reality is you can always improve your roster. I mean, you're always looking for ways to get better. You don't find answers this time of year, but I will say, I think this time of year, especially when you get to mandatory minicamp week, you might get to a point where mentally you're starting to cross some guys off the list. And I don't mean necessarily that you're going to cut them, but it might be that guy's a backup and he's not a serious contender for that starting left guard spot or that starting right guard spot or that starting right tackle spot, because they have three openings on the offensive line alone, let alone talking about other depth spots and all that. So, you know, again, you're not making any definitive assessment right now 100%, because why would you? It's mid-June. But yeah, Eric DaCosta's looking at this and saying, okay, what's it looking like at right tackle? And obviously he's talking to Harbaugh, he's talking to Joe Dallas-Andrus, you know, he's talking to any of the other lower level assistants, and you know, you're just scanning what's out there, you know, post June 1st now, so different ramifications for the salary cap, all that. So it's a very active, fluid process. I mean, it just is. And to the point we made a couple minutes ago, you're one injury away from a position of strength, suddenly not looking that way anymore at all kinds of spots on either side of the ball. So, and also the other wrinkle that you and I haven't talked about too much, but we will, I think, especially when we get into some of these preseason games, the new kickoff rule. How does that change how you evaluate your special teams contributors? You know, is there a different makeup of what a kickoff team looks like right now? Which I'm not saying drastically alters your roster, but it might
change
tweak
gunners.
It might tweak the 51st, 52nd, and 53rd spots on the roster if you feel that, hey, maybe linebackers, you know, maybe we want an extra linebacker or two on the kickoff team now because they're not running 60 yards downfield or 70 yards downfield the way they used to. So, you know, that's part of it.
How many
you
of these Billy Davises that I've known and you know, Anthony Levine's, like, really, really good players at those positions that were speed players that, you know, they were a third or fourth this or that in the secondary, and but that position's going to change, right?
I'd be remiss. You just reminded me of something that I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, because you would appreciate this, certainly, even though you can't be out there, unfortunately.
No, I got that. You keep going.
But Ravens alums this week. Billy
oh,
Davis
by
among
the way,
them. Yeah.
Thank you, because that picture showed up. I saw Kim Herring in there. I was trying
Kim
to figure
Herring?
Out who I recognized, who I knew. I saw Anthony Mitchell. Who else was here? And like, what was that? Is that a new thing?
Yeah, I mean, they've done alumni events at the facility before, but like this felt like a little bit bigger, and it sounds like it's actually over the course of a few days. I mean, they had a big they practiced on the far field furthest away from the building on Tuesday. Now, you know, I'm only talking about the first day of minicamp, but they had a big tent set up, picnic tables, food for all the Ravens alums and their family, you know, kids coming out. And think about it. Some of these guys that played for the Ravens 25 years ago, it might not mean that much if they have a young kid to say, oh, I played for the Ravens. But if you say to them, I played for the Ravens, and they say, wait, the team that Lamar Jackson's on, and Lamar was meeting some of the former players, their young kids and everything. I mean, it was cool. But, you know, just a collection of former players. And, you know, I saw Jacoby Jones. Ray Rice was there. I saw, you know, Kamar Aiken actually came up to some of us media guys who covered him a decade ago. Kamar Aiken,
See, you're getting to that point now where you have relationships with these guys the way I saw Spencer Folau. You know, like I saw the picture. Somebody in my friendship, Dwan Edwards, was here. You know, just a lot of people that I'm friends with. Was Cornell Brown in that picture?
You know what? I did not see Cornell Brown. I'll be full disclosure here, Nestor. As much as I know
you don't recognize
the Ravens, for those, you know, training camp 2009 was my first training camp. So pre-2009, let's face it, when you're a football fan and you only watch the team on Sundays, they're wearing their helmets most of the time, right? So there is, and obviously, as we all are, we're all getting older and we all get a little more gray and a few more wrinkles that
I know, think I see Tony Vincent. I definitely see Dwayne Starks. I see Harry Swain.
I'm
like going through faces here. Some of them I'm like, I think I know who that guy is, but I'm not sure who that guy is.
Adalis Thomas was there. Edwin Mulatalo was there. Corey Graham from the Super Bowl 47. Talk about one of the heroes of the Super Bowl 47 team, signed as a special teams guy and was a starting corner. Trevor Price was there. Anthony Mitchell, Kim Herring. Yeah, Lamar
I
Divins.
See Ovi Mahaley in the front row. Hold on.
Okay.
I see Torrey Smith.
Torrey Smith was there. Yeah, Torrey's around a lot. I mean, obviously he's local. But yeah, it was
I see
fun.
Brad Jackson. Mm-hmm. I see Chris McAllister. Is that Gary Baxter?
Gary Baxter was there.
There's Gary Baxter. Yeah. There you go.
It was fun. It was fun. I mean, and again, to the point we were just making 10 minutes ago, you know, mandatory minicamp. I mean, it's not week 16 trying to clinch a playoff spot. So it is a little bit more relaxed. John Harbaugh spent, I don't know, it was probably 35 to 40 minutes after practice as we were talking to Ronnie Stanley, Roquan Smith, and Derrick Henry at the podium, which, you know, you'll be able to hear all those on our airwaves and at BaltimorePositive.com. But, you know, he was just catching up with those guys. And, you know, I would think for any head coach, I mean, not just John, but any head coach who's been in one place for a long time, you know, Mike Tomlin, who just got an extension in Pittsburgh, and another great example of this. It has to be
Marvin
more
texted me to point that out, by the way.
Yeah, it has to be more meaningful when you've been in one place 10, 15, 20 years, and these guys come back. You know, talking about, you know, some of these guys, and some of the guys we talked about were obviously pre-Harbaugh, but I mean, think about someone like a Bart Scott, you know, someone like that who spent 1 year with John Harbaugh and, you know, goes away and then comes back. And I didn't see Bart Scott Tuesday, but any of those guys that were around in 8, 9, 10, who then parted ways because that's just the nature of the NFL.
Trevor Price, then, one of those guys, right?
Yeah. 15 years later, they come back and, you know, everyone's older and grayer and more wrinkles and, you know, the knees creak a little bit more and all that, but, you know, it's cool to see that. I do have to say this, and I did have to laugh, but this kind of goes back to what I was saying a few minutes ago, talking about the nature of these practices. Jacoby Jones, amongst some others, all noted that, man, if our mandatory minicamp was as easy as this, I would have played another 5 years in the league. So it does speak to how the nature
Camp
of
Cream
the,
Puff.
Yeah, it speaks to the nature of the league and how it changes, and heck, couple years from now, we might not even be talking about mandatory minicamp anymore if the NFLPA gets what it's envisioning, at least in certain circles of their camp. So,
but we will get football in August and in March.
We will. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about March, but President's Day weekend, that's certainly coming with the Super Bowl. So, but yeah, it was fun to see some of these former Ravens in town. It was pretty light, and I, you know, didn't see Ed Reed or Ray Lewis make an appearance, but did see some notable Super Bowl 35 and Super Bowl 47 champions back in the building, back on the grounds, and
Spencer.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, it would have been fun. So I obviously have great affinity for those guys, and the fact that my name has been poisoned with them is, you know, disgraceful, despicable. I'll just leave it at that. Enjoy yourself. Hot weather's coming. We have baseball. We have the Braves. We have the Phillies. We have Fleet Week. We have the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm going to have the Sevens coming your way. But I have some Pac-Mans. I'm going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. Friday, we're going to be down at Fleet Week at the Cooper's down in Fells Point on the cobblestone. Really looking forward to having Ron Furman from Max's on Broadway. I'll never say Max's Tap House. That's so new century to me. I like the rock and roll. Next week, we're at Costas on Thursday before the Yankees game. Come on by for that. And then we're going to be at Pappas in Parkville on the 25th. So Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, clean water for all, as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Luke can be found at Baltimore Luke, anywhere the internet travels. Make sure you're checking out our 25th anniversary celebration as well. We're putting an oyster tour together in September, doing a lot of cool stuff this summer at Crab Cake Tours. Luke's been doing some hard work on the Orioles and the Ravens this week. And I am off in the cosmos interviewing rock stars like Thomas Dolby and Mark Bryan from Hootie and the Blowfish, amongst others, thanks to Ray Bachman. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.